Joining me for a closer look at the equity space now is Devin Shute from Robair Group. Thanks so much, Devin, for your time today. So, the Rand, South African bonds, and the markets overall seeming to cheer the budget announcement that was delivered today. Your overall impressions?
Yeah, Alicia, maybe not cheering, but I think a sigh of relief might be more accurate. It was encouraging to see bonds back to pre-Nenegate levels. That was good. Currency regathered some ground, which was nice to see. The financial sector was directly encouraged by what we saw out of the budget. So, yeah, overall, I think it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. How much better could it have been, though? Because, of course, the sticking point with regards to our fiscal policy moving forward centers around growth. And what we're seeing announced doesn't seem to be translating to growth to the extent that we need it to at this stage.
Correct. I think it was very light on what we're practically doing to really start to ignite that growth that's so desperately needed. That long-term trajectory growth still looks too low. The Treasury did come out and they were fairly conservative. I know Goldman has got much higher estimates for our growth, so we'll see what happens there. I think I would have liked also more details on how expenditure is being cut. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do that? Because to my mind, that's a more efficient way of saving rather than raising revenues. If we can be more efficient on expenditure, make the government fiscus leaner and meaner, I think then we will also see much more follow through into that growth you're talking about.
While detail was scant on the expenditure cut side of things, we had a lot of detail emerging on where a revenue was set to be collected. And of course, standing front and center was the VAT increase and then the increases in personal income taxes at the higher levels of the earning bracket, that hitting retail stocks quite significantly. How do you see this impacting the retailers moving forward?
Yes, look, I think it was widely expected that we were going to get the 1 percentage point increase in the VAT rate. I think that will be absorbed by the market in time. I think there's a bit of disappointment there, which you can understand, and that will have an impact on consumers. The view was it was inevitable, so I don't think there were any major surprises there. We are seeing the ultra wealthy being targeted in terms of estate duties, donation tax, imports on luxury goods, that type of thing. My feel is that those are probably there to make the VAT increase more palatable, politically speaking. And yeah, I think we've got social grants going up. The headline number is 7%. You drill down into it, it's over two tranches, so maybe not quite that much in that regard. You've mentioned higher education, but I think what I was encouraged by is hopefully deficits slowly starting to narrow and our expenditure targets peaking in the next couple of years.
What was certainly interesting was Treasury's announcement to increase the prudential limits on offshore investments. What have you made of that move and what kind of outflow, more importantly, do you see this triggering, especially with Rand sitting where it's sitting at right now?
Sure. So, I mean, it's a fairly big increase. If you look at, the cap being at 25% for certain investments moving to 30%, a lot of the asset management industry is maximizing that offshore allocation for their client funds. And I expect that to increase with this greater cap. You will see portfolio outflows. I think it shows Treasury's confidence in the fact that they're not too worried about exchange control in that regard. And I think for end user investors, it's a good sign. It just allows them greater geographic diversification in the investments.
Well, talking about investments and where they're being made, on the company news front, we had the JSC out with results and not too flattering, I guess. Revenue declining of 5%. It says it's reduced its cost base in that context, but only down 1%. Your overall impressions there?
Yeah, so I mean, you looked at volumes across the board in all their segments they operate in. They were down, and I mean that's understandable. When we had a year like we did last year, when sentiment was low, uncertainty was high, nervousness and fear were there. There's much less volume and activity going through financial markets, and the JSC's profitability is directly linked to that. I expect with the uptick in sentiment, they're going to have a better year coming through, but there's more competitors that are coming on stream and are going to be entrenched in that regard. So we're watching that space to see how they handle that.
It's actually phenomenal just how many companies were out with news on budget day to day. So we're going to try and blitz through as many of them as we can. I'm going to give Bidcorp a skip because we're chatting to the company CEO in just a bit. Let's move on to Tiger Brands. I mean, its share price falling back today. I mean, it was the worst performer next to Steinhoff on the top 40 yes. index today, down close enough to 6%. Revenue down 5%, or expected to be down 5%. It's also highlighted volume of food sold falling back. Tiger Brands not in too good a position right now.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at why that is, you know, they operate in a value-driven segment. Times have arguably been tough, and so as a result, consumers have spent less, volumes going backwards by 4%. There was also price deflation, mm-hmm. which affected them negatively. Really not a great outlook there. The competition is intensifying in these tough times. They did report that the gross margin increased, which was good. So even in tough times, they are managing to up that a little bit. But yeah, not a disappointing release.
On the flip side, how positively have you viewed Adcock Ingram's results? I mean, it's reported a 33% increase in first half headline earnings per share from continuing operations. The gross margins improved 38% as well. Stronger Rand doing it some favor too.
Yeah.
Adcock Ingram in your books?
Yeah, I mean, they looked like healthy results, didn't they? You know, they're going forward nicely. Their product mix is working well for them, coupled with that strong rand, good volume growth, introducing new products, a nice acquisition of the Genop group there that I believe will be earnings accretive. Yeah, overall, I think it's results we're pleased with.
Amidst it all, your stock pick at the moment?
Stock pick is a small cap. We believe there's lots of value in that space on the JSE. We're looking at Master Drilling, trades on a 7x multiple, big order book, offshore in dollars, started paying a dividend. So, you know, really unique raise bore drilling technology and one to look at.
Well, let's leave it there, Devon, for now. Devon Shooters, of course, with the Robert Group. Geographically diverse food conglomerate Bidcorp has reaped the rewards of positive trading conditions with its operations in Australia and New Zealand in particular, driving up its interim profit. The company posted an 8.6% rise in its headline earnings per share of 640 cents. And despite facing potential pullbacks with Brexit in the UK and dairy price volatility in Asia, it remains upbeat for the second half too. Joining me on the line now to unpack the results a little further is CEO Bernard Berger. And still with us in studio as well is Devon Shute of the Robert Group. Bernard, thanks so much for joining us on the line this evening. So results aside, I want to take a look at some of your reshaping ambition here, because since listing in 2016, you've of course been making small bolt-on acquisitions, but now you're considering an offer for your UK transport business. So take us through the rationale there. And I know it's very early days, but just how much commercial sense this deal is potentially making for you?
Well, I think the logistics business in the UK, we identified as non-core a few years ago, and we've continued to maintain that. It doesn't form part of our strategy moving forward of food service distribution. It has been a division that's problematic for us, so we welcome the opportunity of this transaction. It's fair to say that it's not a significant part of our activities. And our focus has been on the rest of our business, on our core food service operations.
With that, let's take a look at your geographic footprint and where exactly you're seeing the opportunity, because of course Australasia's contribution was only the third biggest revenue source, but it's contributed now, 30% to group profit?
Yeah, we had a good performance from all our geographies. In fact, I think the only region that we were down in the emerging markets portfolio was in the Middle East, which faced some geopolitical challenges. Australia was flat as we made investments in capacity for future growth, but it's been a very strong driver of growth in the past. And we just need to reinvest to ensure that the capacity upgrade moving forward. So we see the world in a relatively positive environment. There is incremental growth. And we remind the buoyant and upbeat about the prospects.
Unfortunately, Bernard, we're going to have to cut the conversation short with you this evening. We seem to be having extreme problems with that line to you, and so unable to hear you too clearly. Still with me in studio, however, is Devin Shute of the Robert Group. And Devin, we had to let Bernard go, but you know, when we were chatting off air about the results, you were speaking to your question around the potential sustainability of the kind of earnings that they have been seeing, you know, in the various territories, but Australasia specifically.
Correct. So that's the biggest single contributor to profit is in that area, Australia, New Zealand. And, you know, my thoughts are, if we're kind of in the mature end of a growth cycle, you know, where is that growth going to come from? Are they looking at the Asian markets and South Africa to kind of bolster that up? I think also, you know, the low inflationary environment has benefited those. And if we see inflation start to move higher, which we're seeing in some regions, what effect is that going to have on the group and the profitability there?
Yeah, of course, interesting is that Bidcorp had a market capitalization of 88.6 billion rand today, placing it ahead of Tiger Brands 85.5 billion rand, making it now the JSE's largest food group. So that's certainly an interesting development that's unfolded. We're going to hit pause right now, take a quick ad break, and when we come back, get some international perspective on South Africa's budget announcement today, of course, delivered by Finance Minister Malusi Gigaba. Well, Finance Minister Malusi Gigaba delivered what he calls a tough but hopeful budget earlier today. He introduced measures including cuts in government spending and increases in VAT that will raise an additional 36 billion rand. But some say some of the measures that were announced are the same old rhetoric by Treasury. The initial reaction for the budget was positive, with both the rand and the JSE gaining strength. But how are international markets digesting the news, and what are they making of South Africa's future economy? I'm joined on the line now by Per Hamerland, who's a chief emerging market strategist at SEB Group. Thanks so much, Per, for your time this evening. So how much confidence has today's budget speech managed to ignite in the offshore arena?
Thank you for having me. Yes, I think it's definitely been a boost to confidence, but also a lot of the budget has already been priced in to markets. I think since Ramaphosa came to power, investors have been anticipating a significant shift in economic policy, and I think the budget was a proof of that.
How's South Africa right now stacking up against the other emerging market territories you're looking at, both from you know, an attractiveness perspective and from a risk perspective, Per?
Well, I think in terms of attractiveness, it's looking very good. South Africa usually gains and when the world economy is growing strongly and when you see commodity prices rising. And given the strength of the outlook for world growth, South Africa is in a prime position to benefit from that. Obviously, the change in leadership has given an extra boost to that. But the proof will really be in the pudding here. And if Ramaphosa is able to deliver on the reforms and on if he's really going to be able to stabilize public finances, that's what investors are looking out for now, whether there will be any signs of slippage or if we can stay the course.
Yeah. Per, I've got with me in studio Devin Shute from the Robert Group, and he's got a question for you. So I'm going to bring him into the conversation at this point. Devin?
Per, just a question on the attractiveness of our sovereign bonds. Obviously, yields have retreated a bit over the, you know, the course of today, but how attractive do you view those real yields, given that we're seeing inflation continue to moderate, with a very real chance that it'll now rest in that mid-range of the Reserve Bank targets at around 4.5%.
Right. I think they're very attractive right now. obviously some of it has been priced in. It's been a popular trade since mid-December in particular. But I think there's definitely further downside in yields, and that I think there will be a healthy appetite now. There will be a time period now after this budget speech and where the government will have a bit of a honeymoon period. Investors will trust the momentum, and there will be, I think, continued strong demand for South African bonds. I think given that inflation looks like it's under control, it seems to me like government bonds look like a very good call.
Okay, well, let's leave it there. Per, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Of course, that was Per Hammeland, who's Chief Emerging Market Strategist at SEB Group. Devon, always a pleasure having you in studio. Thanks so much for your time this evening. Thanks, Alicia.
Busy
day. Very busy day. Devon Shoot is with the Robert Group, and that's where we leave things with you for now. After the break, it's a personal finance, so stay tuned for that. I'll see you back at 7 o'clock with the news. We also take a closer look at whether the 2018 budget is enough to avoid credit rating downgrades and appease S&P's Global's Ravi Bhatia. Also taking a look at JSE's results with CEO Nikki Newton-King. So stay tuned for that.